Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. You know, I started my podcast and my doggy Elio was right next to me. He was shaking. I had to stop. And I just held him for a second. He stopped shaking. I don't think I could do that podcast if he was next to me. May have been something outside. Anyway, welcome. I'm back to the podcast here and I'm going to get to the topic this time. Or how do I want to go into this? Oh, well, somebody asked me. People have asked me, actually, off and on, since we've developed repression inquiry, this question. How do I know if somebody else is not being authentic? And then other people would say, like, how do I know if somebody's a narcissist? And if you go on social media, my God, you have so much help with that, you know? We all do. Like, here's the five signs of a narcissist, but you're not one. That's what I see all the time. By the way, those sort of covert kind of, you know, that we're talking about these days in KI, that covert, overly friendly, loving, compassionate person who says to the audience, let's talk about the big bad narcissist. You didn't do anything. You're a victim. But let me tell you how not to get into a relationship with one of them again and how to spot them. That kind of smarmy, like codependent anger repression thing. So people have asked me, how do you spot narcissism? How do you spot codependency? How do you spot inauthenticity? I'm not an expert at how you might spot it. You got to do your own work. That's how you spot it. It's too safe to say, well, let me stay here in my repressed state where I haven't processed my buried emotions and protect myself against other people who haven't done the same thing. But nonetheless, doing your own work gives you a lot of insight. So I'll share it with you what I've seen. This is just my experience. That's all. I am on to people in a different way. I got on to myself. That's what I'm saying. You have to do your own work. But there was a whole, well, almost everybody I misunderstood or like just didn't, there was ignorance around emotional repression. And so there was still ignorance and some suffering in my life and relationship. Because although we talk about ego and spirituality and falseness, until you get to the root of that, you don't get the insights that you really need to see yourself and other people more. And I finally did that work to see. That doesn't allow me to see the thoughts of other people or feel their feelings any more than I could before. In fact, if anything, there's a stronger boundary between my feelings and other people's feelings. I mean, not a boundary. It's just like, those are yours. These are mine. I'm no longer confused about that or codependent about that. And that makes me, by the way, I can connect more. There's more intimacy and connection because I got out of other people's business. But anyway, yeah, I don't even really want to talk about spotting other people's stuff. But since I've been asked the question, I will. It's kind of gross, though, I have to say, because I know people mean well, but it would be better if people would just do their own work, the more I sit with it, because if you don't do your own work, even looking at another person, focusing on another person ends up being a way to, like, avoid your own stuff, especially if you have energy on it, and then if you're like, well, that person's inauthentic, that's why. It's not that I have trauma, and I can't feel all my emotions or feel and express them, and so I'm suffering because of them. It's no, they're a narcissist, and that's just lazy. I don't want to do anything that adds to the social media that just kind of doesn't take responsibility like all that. As I said, the smarmy kind of, let me help you with all the bad people, but we're not going to process any of our stuff. Nonetheless, we're moving into an age with AI and, of course, just the world the way it is, where I think verification will become, and it already is, so much more important because you got deep fake on the internet where you can't tell if somebody is really who they are because of AI, or you've got just AI and you've got identity theft where it's like we have to have extra special precautions. You have so much scamming. Even more since COVID, with that and all this stuff with technology, we're moving into this future in which we also are a species who is not embodied. We have trauma. This is a recipe, I think, for some bad shit to happen. I mean that. That's the whistle that I'm blowing. That and the just our avoidance on a spiritual path. And let's get to the root of suffering, my usual rant. But this is another one because, you know, I'm a human being in this world too. And when I see these two things coming together, we have all this technology. We've used our brain power and consciousness to build these things that work so well and help us, but we've neglected our own emotions. And in fact, the neglecting of our own emotions, the buried emotions, the trauma, is what drives us to like really do the things we're doing around this technology with AI of like bigger, better, faster. It's how humans have always been because of what they have that's unprocessed. It's not just their creativity. Joe Rogan, he said that one day. Aren't humans just, we're like probably the most amazing, he didn't say this part, but somebody did. We're probably more creative than any other species. And I'm like, first of all, a lot of our creativity comes from sheer lack and separation and survival. It's like, I was a musician, I've created all my life. I know where that comes from. When you grow up with unconscious parents or any kind of trauma, you are not just out there creating freely and cleanly. We're creating to survive. Bigger, better, faster. We can't put a lid on it when we have trauma. So all this is going on. And in the future, I think that people who are not grounded in who they really are and what they really are going to suffer more. Because of the interfacing with this technology and all these, and I don't think that's a conspiracy. I don't think that it's like something that I have to put out there and go, well, I still don't have the proof for it. Because I don't think we need proof. You don't, how do you prove something like that until after it's happened? And then there's damage and something happens like, and then we go, oh yeah, there's the proof. Bad shit happened. But if we just open our eyes, we can see that we are already a species that's suffering and unconscious. And now we're building these toys that are going to be smarter than us. And it's going to fake us, or we are already easily faked or deceived, duped. And now, you know, so many conspiracy theories. Truth is out the window. Relative truth. There's no ground. Really, if you look, there really isn't a ground. It's interesting that people sometimes will go, they'll hold on or go to religious beliefs more. I noticed that Russell Brand did. I'm not saying he did that because of what's going on in the world, but I think increasingly people are going to look for ground. And I say, look for the ground of what you are, because this is all about consciousness. The conspiracy theories, the consciousness that created AI and can't stop creating it, the consciousness that's all about the deep fake and all of that is about, it's all consciousness. And so we need to focus there as we move into the future to ground ourselves and recognize really what we are, which is the presence, the awakeness that's at the very basis of our experience, the presence. And if we don't, think about how easily it's going to be sucked into that world. Whatever we create, where we are already suffering, or people are, why wouldn't they be sucked into a world that gets created where there's just, there's no sense of truth? Because if we don't, the so-called mechanism of the ego doesn't want the truth. It just wants to stay safe and get love and keep suffering. So the next conspiracy theory or worldview, you know, Dan said, screw the conspiracy theories. Your basic everyday belief creates suffering. I'm not good enough isn't true either, but people will cling to that. It doesn't matter. It's like the content doesn't matter when we're unconscious. We have buried emotions. I mean, you can cling to your own awakening. You've seen teachers, people have even thought that about me. People think that because everybody's doing it. Why wouldn't you think that everyone's doing it? That people believe their own spiritual frameworks and they're stuck in them and they can't get out of them. And all of this keeps us safe. You know, you could say that's a framework, but use it then to let go of all the frameworks that you're using to stay safe from buried emotions. Then you can let go of this framework because they're all not ultimately true. Just use them in a way that's helpful. I don't think a conspiracy or even I'm not good enough is really helpful. So what I say is find a framework or a worldview that changes how you look at everything, that has you focus on discovering what you really are, the presence that you are, and embodying that, processing the buried emotions, dealing with your trauma through and through. You will change the world. No one may know about it, but you will, because you are the world. Consciousness is that when the non-dual will show you there's no separation, and that the objects that you see are being produced by your unconscious buried emotions. You've been creating suffering since you were a kid, and you'll see it comes from unmet needs and fear of essentially being authentic, which is death to the ego. Authenticity and presence together is the death of the ego. So when you get a good context, now it's all about just not killing the ego. It's about waking up and integrating all aspects of yourself. And then the falseness goes away. You can't kill that. I mean, if you try to kill it, it's just more violence, more suffering. But if you recognize what you are and make conscious buried emotions, that suffering goes away. It's not that the conspiracy theories or the worldviews or thoughts will go away. People will still say things. The suffering goes away. And there still may be some things that we're going to have to investigate. You know, of course. Some conspiracy theories are true. But that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is it's about how we look at consciousness itself and how we're going into a future in which it's just like a sabotage. To me, the human species is like a human animal. Because it's unconscious, it's about to fuck itself in different ways. It has been forever. But now we've just got really big toys to do it. Nuclear bombs and AI. And they, you know, they just keep getting bigger. The new AI will be like so fast. It's like it'll be able to compute in just a minute or less what it would take many, many thousands of years of scientists to figure out. I saw that we're going to have some, I didn't state it correctly, but it's just super intelligence essentially. And then Putin comes out. Oh, that was a few years ago. I have the invincible nuclear missile. It won't end until we wise up, but we can't wise up in the mind. Everybody thinks they're wising up when they have a new belief or a new perspective. You have to wise up in the body. You have to wake up, and then you wise up by processing the buried emotions that produce duality in your world and suffering. Nobody can do it for you. And that's for every human. My God, somebody's got to be saying that now. I hope that more people will, that people are fighting for this viewpoint and that belief system. People should just fight for humans to become conscious. Somehow, they don't have to do KI, just become conscious for all of us. Or maybe 100 monkeys. If we could just get 100 people or more to truly embody what they are and let go of the separation, or you don't let go of it, it dissolves. And then, no, it's a different world then. You don't want to hurt each other. No, that was the trauma. All of that, all of it was the trauma. When I look at it all, just everything that's going on in the world, and then my own work, my buried anger, I see the world differently. I'm going to get back to what it might be like if we become conscious and no longer experience separation. in the same way. But that's jumping to like a utopian kind of place when I have things to say first. I see things so differently. I mean, Dan kind of jokes around and says on social media that, you know, when you look at liberals, a lot of them repress anger. He's right. It's not exact. It's not an absolute truth, but he's right if you pay attention. And that a lot of conservatives, but not all of them, repress hurt and sadness. But do you even know what that looks like? How would you know if you don't do your own work? See, because we're constantly duping each other to get our needs met. And the parties are doing it too. They're pretending like it's about A, B, and C, and D, when it's really about dad and mom. But because it's so unconscious with the buried emotions. I mean, go to Ken Wilber's, is what I say, go to ChatGPT, ask about Ken Wilber's work around sick green consciousness and how, well, just type that in and see. Basically, I'll explain it and you can use some of these words that I explain. But I was in sick green consciousness for a long time. And it's not that all liberals are in sick green consciousness. Liberal is essentially the same as green consciousness, is what he's calling it. And it has to do with an evolution of consciousness. So in other words, starting in the 60s with the women's rights, black rights, gay rights, which I was a part of, not in the early 60s, but that whole movement really changed consciousness in the sense that it became more progressive. It started to recognize the power imbalances of the past and like segregation. This is a really good thing. And so, but it's just beginning this stage of consciousness. It's still very young. And there's a lot of trauma in it. And he doesn't use the word trauma, but he talks about it as sick green. He may use trauma, but it's shadows. He does talk a lot about shadows. Shadows come from buried emotions. So what? How does one progress into a kind of the sick green or green consciousness? It's your life, so you have to tell your story. But for me, I grew up in the Midwest as a gay kid. So, but I was also smart, and I also knew that, well, even though everybody hates me, being gay, and I don't feel comfortable coming out, there was still something in me that wanted to go out into the world still. I couldn't be my authentic self. I mean, I came out of the closet, but I mean, what I did was I went and fought because of the pain that I endured as a child, being bullied and feeling hated in different ways. I buried that anger, not the hurt as much, but the anger and the fear of being humiliated again and rejected. I just buried that. And I lived the life of someone in green consciousness who also was sick green. When I was more liberal than any of my college friends, if you can imagine. Back in even 1988, there really, you know, it was in Kentucky where I was going to college. I was considered very liberal. I had my best friend was an African-American female, and she would come into the dorm room where the swimmers were, and there were racist remarks made by these swimmers. And even one of them, when she came to visit me, they put up a poster of Tracy Chapman in the men's bathroom where she wouldn't see it and then drew on it. She had short hair. She was beautiful. She actually died later at around age 40. But they, you know, that's just the racism. And I couldn't come out then. But I was more liberal than anybody there. I just didn't feel safe to come out. And it's always been like that. I always felt like the one that was more progressive wherever I went. But I was fighting some fight, you have to understand. It wasn't just a consciousness. I knew that there was something that I saw that people were really sexually repressed and that they were shadowing it onto me as a homosexual. I knew that. And I knew that I wasn't just like a sinner or an awful person, no matter what people said, because we all have an inherent goodness. And I felt that. So I just didn't. But the very core, I was driven by a kind of victim consciousness. and buried rage, that buried rage especially, I wasn't aware of it. So I became an attorney and I fought against big corporations. Again, take down the big guy, the big bully, because the bully in me, the buried anger, I could say the bully was buried, which means the anger, because there's no bully. Bullying happens because people have trauma. But for me, there were bullies in the world, like big corporations, the government. So when I talk about these conspiracy theories, I used to like be very anti-governmental control of certain things around my homosexuality, basically. I was a kind of a gay rights advocate. I did everything but march on Washington. I wrote a letter to the Supreme Court in the 90s about just the unjust laws. So I was green, green, green. I have the card, guys. Now I'm not. I am not a liberal, and I'll tell you why. I'm also not a conservative. But it has to do with identity and the future and consciousness and knowing what you are. We're not going to save this earth by fighting from these sides, these false sides. This is trauma. I first woke up to awareness and realized I'm not my story, but then I still suffered with diseases because the real issue was the buried anger that drove the liberal. See, the progressive viewpoint is good. We need that in the world. We need more equality. We need to get along. We need to be at peace. That's ultimately what we want, but we can't get there when we have trauma. We can't just say, let's have this kumbaya world when there's trauma, even coming from the people who are proposing peace. In fact, they have the most anger. We anger repressors have the most anger. It's buried. We need to bring it forth like I'm doing right now so your voice can be heard. Not the voice of powerlessness, though. Not the voice that just makes enemies. This is what green consciousness does, and it becomes sick. It has an authority shadow. Because you can't own your anger. If you were hurt as a kid, if the anger can't be owned, you have this issue with authority. So even if I raise my voice, some people can't handle it. That has nothing to do with your progressive viewpoint. You are not right just because you're offended. You are not correct or politically correct or otherwise just because you're triggered. I used to live like that. I can see through you. I've already like moved beyond that. And, you know, I have to set boundaries with anger repressors more than anyone, especially if they have this kind of like sick green about them, like cancel culture, because I'm talking about close friends or people that I know, colleagues. There's a certain aggression in that sick green consciousness that, like, if you don't align with them, PC, like your language, I'm not PC. I'm fucking not PC, and I'm a gay man. I don't agree with it. I think it's restrictive. I think it comes from repression. It's part of sick green culture. I don't care if I get canceled for it because people have to be free, fundamentally free in their essence. We cannot restrict each other that way. Look, I'm a gay man, okay? People like me have been hurt. I was bullied when I was a kid. I was bullied as an adult. I was accosted 4 times in Wichita, Kansas at the age of 50 with my partner. But I don't think that the answer is anything other than process your own stuff. Find your power. Be a voice in the world. Stop being a victim. I mean that. Find your power. I was a victim all of my life and I suffered. Even as I woke up to awareness and I started teaching, I had 2 diseases because I wouldn't face that part of my victim consciousness that was buried rage, which was responsible for all the self-righteous shadow boxing and covert narcissism from the, you know, from the do-gooder 12-stepper to the peaceful, perfect spiritual teacher. It's all fucking bullshit because I'm free now. I mean, I am totally free now from all of that. And I don't want to say I'm done. I'm just free of that falseness. And so I find peace even in the explosions. The silence is none other than the explosion. That's how it has to be when you want to be free. You can't hold your life force back and expect other people to change in the world and make them into enemies when they don't, because you'll never be free and you'll never know real love. When you're in green consciousness, it's not about authenticity or love. It's about control. The green consciousness, that perspective, was never supposed to be fear-based, but it had to start that way because humans have trauma. It's a good perspective and we need it in the world and I want more of it, but not with the buried rage and hurt and fear that drives liberal politics. I don't want that in my system or around me. It's toxic. And conservative politics is too. So I don't want people listening as conservatives saying, oh yeah, he's going after the liberals, because you're just as unconscious. It's not even about political parties, you all. We're in this together. All of us. You can't take sides. The only side you should take is this one. Clean up your shit. Take that position. Take it strongly. Hold it strongly until your shit is cleaned up, and then you'll change the world. Because the world is you. That's the gift of the non-dual traditions right there, is that we are the reality and we actually have the power to transform the earth, but only from within. It's not a fucking cliche. It's how things are. I hope to galvanize people more, because in this day and age, the voices that come from trauma are loud. Very, very loud. They're either loud physically, like you can hear them loud, or they're loud in their softness. They are loud in their peace, in their compassion, in their falseness, basically. Like they're luring people in with codependency, or they're just like getting the troops ready to prepare for the end days. It's like, where's the middle way here? How can we let hurt and sadness repressors and anger repressors, humans who have trauma, determine the future for all of us? But that's what we're going to do if we don't make consciousness the most important thing. You can't really stand on that position. I mean, you can, but then you don't actually wake up. I mean, it's not a position to clean up your own shit. You'd have to clean up that position too, that's your position to be truly free. In the end, we are bare naked, y'all. We are bare naked and intimate, and that's what we're afraid of. The true non-separation is bare naked and intimate. No wonder we have big bombs. If we could have them in our bedrooms, we would, because we don't like to be seen. We're afraid of really being seen. So that's what we're going to keep doing as we go into the future with AI and deep fake and all the identity theft and everything. We have to see ourselves first. What I've learned about this work is that it gave me visibility on who I really am, what I really am. I can't articulate it for you. I can only live it. And you're going to want to know that, I think, in this world. It's coming. It's just a hunch that I have. I don't really think that it's going to end up badly. I think even if so-called bad things happen, it'll be part of the transformational process of humans. I really do think that, because if you look at a human's life where there's transformation, there is disruption. There's true disruption when there's transformation. And that's what the world's going to be like when we see the transformation. There's going to be disruption in it. In different ways. And that's why it's important to ground yourself in what you are. Because when things get bad, you know what you care about, of course, is safety, shelter, the things you should care about, food. But you still have unconsciousness at that point. You're going to suffer more during this peacetime, or times when it may never get bad, but take the time now. That's what I've done. I took the time during COVID. I said, I've suffered enough. And there was nothing happening other than stay inside. Now, we got busy again after COVID, but that's part of our issue as humans, is we're not keeping our eye on the ball, that we create our own suffering, and getting busy doesn't change the fact that we affect each other deeply. And we're disconnected from each other, but from our bodies. And that's going to have, like, I don't know what is going to happen, but But that has to have. Stuff has to happen because of that. And that's why I want to sound the alarm, not to induce fear, but to inspire awakening and freedom. I hope it does. So I have a link in the description if you want to come and talk to me, and I'll show you more about what I mean if you want to work with me. But I've got a jumpstart group too. Just come into that group and learn the tools here if you want. Thank you for listening.